ओम शांति। So before we begin, if you have a notebook and pen, I'd like you to, in one word, capture your spiritual state. How would you describe your spiritual state in one word? Just write it down if you can. If you don't have a notebook and pen, see what word emerges in your mind. In one word, how would you describe your current spiritual state? Okay? Next. Now, in one word, how would you describe your current mental state? Nobody's going to look at your paper, so you can be honest as you want. And then in one word, how would you describe your current emotional state? And in one word, how would you describe your current physical state? So looking at your list, do you notice a difference? Words? Yes? No? What are you realizing as you look at your list? Can we have a mic at the front here? Is that possible? What do you see as you examine your list? You can stand up and share your observations. So what do you notice as you look at your list? Anybody? Am I not making sense? Or are you too shy? Sorry? It's all over the place. Right. Who else has the same thing? Your states are all over the place. Okay. Yeah. You're up and down. Okay. And who else has maybe states that are similar, they're aligned? Okay. One. Good. Two. Okay. So one of the reasons for doing this is that, you know, what is our journey, our life journey about? It's based on energy. And very often, sometimes, when we say, I don't feel well, it could be the body that doesn't feel well. But the soul is okay. And when sometimes we over-identify with any of these states, then it can create fluctuation inside. Even over-identifying with your spiritual state. So for example, you can have had a really good meditation, and then what do you say? I feel good. right? Oh, I feel great. And immediately, as you take ownership of that state, then you raise a very subtle expectation inside. So the next time you sit for meditation, what do you want to feel again? You want to feel good and great again. So when we take up this subject of stability and remaining centered, I think it's very important to understand from what point is my experience of stability created. And in my own experience, the starting place for stability is the energy exchange that happens between me and Baba. So if there's nothing happening between me and Baba right now, then I will be subject to the influences of my physical state, my mental state, my emotional state. I will feel this, I will feel that, I might feel moody, I might not feel well. And then my relationship with Baba is dictated by these energies. So, depending on how you feel in your body, you'll have yoga. Does that make sense? Depending on your emotional state, you'll do something or you won't do something. And so cultivating and protecting and incubating this energy exchange between Baba and the soul is very important, and it's very delicate. You know, Baba's got the energy of a baby, a newborn baby. So pure. Baba's so pure. And in that purity, there's so much benevolence. In that purity, there's so much truth, but this truth has no edges. And in Baba's purity, there's a lot of gentleness and softness. You know, and we experience that to be love when we connect with Baba. We feel loved, completely accepted by Baba, no matter where we're at. And so when you're protecting a relationship with a newborn baby, it requires a lot of attention. And sometimes maybe, you know, we make the mistake of overriding that delicate energy exchange. Sometimes we think, well, if I sort myself out physically, then my relationship with Baba will get better. And actually, real honesty starts from what's missing, what experience is missing in the way I relate to Baba. I remember many years ago, I was taking Daddy for a walk, and I said to Daddy, "Daddy, can you tell me what my weakness is?" And she said, "Why should Daddy do your work for you?" So I said, "Okay." And I thought about it and I said, "Well, can you tell me how I can discover my weakness?" And then she went into silence for a moment and she said, "Think about what still keeps you distant from Baba." And whilst I'm aware that there are so many things happening in our lives, you know, be it in the context of service, be it in the context of work, your lokic lives, relationships, why have you arrived here today? It's the thread of that eternal relationship that has pulled you here. And irrespective of all the various elements in our lives, What is it that takes priority at this point in my life? Now, you can say Baba with your head, but ask your heart the question, where is your heart right now? Because your head can say Baba, Baba, but your heart tells a very different story. Your heart may have mixed feelings. Your heart may be holding on to something or someone. And so, when we examine the whole subject of stability, especially internal stability, it's very important to look at subtle elements inside ourselves that create stability. Because I feel that the whole experience of stability is a very subtle pradhan experience. You know, it's a very pure experience. God is the most stable and non-changing entity in the whole universe. Which is why Baba's presence can have such a catalyzing effect on things. Because it's completely pure, it's completely uncorruptible, uninfluenced, altruistic. Because there's no gaps in God. When we look at ourselves, when I look at myself, you see a gap between how much you think, how much you speak, and how much you do. Right? Gap number one. Then you look at the state of your heart. Being honest with your heart. Where is my heart invested in? Where is my heart still taking its sustenance from? Then let's go to your mind. What's the state of my mind right now? Is it overworked? Is it strained? Is it underworked? And then let's look at the quality of our conscience. Is there something biting my conscience? Is an aspect of my conscience weighing me down somewhere? And then let's look at my drishti. Is my drishti soul conscious? Is my default drishti seeing specialities? Am I instantly able to discern where a soul is at without judgment? And then let's come to attitude. What's my attitude? Am I holding on to something from the past? Fears, pain, sorrow. And so in each of your, this is your like your internal map inside the system, the subtle system. There's heart, mind, conscience, drishti, your vision, your attitude, and then your memory track, your chit. How much of my life do I live off my memories? What am I remembering? And when we talk about spiritual stability, I think it requires us to begin cleaning all of these tracks. And that's what knowledge does for us. You know, when I think of Baba's Murli, and Baba's Murli as a mirror for the soul, when I listen to Baba's Murli, it's doing something to one of my faculties inside. Baba's helping me align my drishti one day. When he says, pick up the pearls, Baba's helping me to create a pure attitude the next day. So knowledge plays a very, very important role in internal cleansing and aligning. And when the quality of your heart and your mind and your conscience and your attitude and your vision are the same, there's no difference, then you have no issues. Right? Many times we have issues. And because our ability to examine ourselves internally is not so subtle, those issues inevitably get projected outside of ourselves. Somebody is a problem, something is a problem, situation is a problem, that's why I feel like this. And it's probably one of the biggest illusions a Brahmin can be under. Feeling that I feel like this because of someone or something outside of me. I don't know who it was who was sharing this quite a while back, but it made a very interesting statement. And this soul was saying that many times in life, we look out and we say, what's going on outside? And then, how do I feel? And for a Brahmin soul, because they're powerful souls, the question has to be reversed. What's going on inside? How do I feel inside? And then what's happening outside? Right? Because as Brahmin souls, our energies are very powerful. And when they're not aligned inside, can you imagine what happens when a Brahmin gets disturbed and distressed? It's like a very powerful energy ripple into the universe. And that energy ripple creates obstacles for others. Just as a Brahmin is instrumental to help souls ascend, you know, as long as I'm ascending, there is benefit for everyone around me. But the moment I descend, others around me experience a loss of energy. And sometimes we're not aware of our own, I suppose, power and value, even though Baba says in the Murali every day, this is who you are. And so another element of, you know, stability is the experience of self-value. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And of course, we can build an armor of incredible skills. Speech skills, giving lecture skills, workshop skills, Lokic skills, Lokic intelligence. And we can build a big armor of all these skills. And yet the core of our being still lacks something. And at the base of it, cultivating your self-respect is essential in Brahmin life. I think we can move forward, you know. You can't stop anybody from their bhakti. When we first come to Baba, there has to be an element of bhakti that we've done that's brought us to take gyan. And so bhakti has many drivers. It makes us disciplined. It makes us want to have some bhavana in God. It makes us want to study, want to take knowledge. And, you know, within bhakti bhavana, there's a sense of duty that I have to do this. But when you make the transition from bhakti to gyan, then everything is filled with love. It's an act of love. And it's an act of self-love. You're not driven by duty anymore at a subtle level. I have to do this, I want to do this, I should do this. But it's a very natural experience of love. And again, self-respect is something that, I suppose, it's overridden. You understand what I mean when I say you override your self-respect? Yeah, to please somebody else, to get a job done. And And a big part of self-respect requires honesty. And that's why I started off with asking you to describe those four states in one word. Because there's one aspect of self-respect where you take Baba's titles, you experience them and go into their depths. But in order for that experience to be fully integrated, another aspect of self-respect requires us to be honest with our capacity at this point in time. Sometimes we can be, I mean, this is from my own experience growing up in Gyan. And of course, Baba's Muralis were always fascinating for me as a child. And spiritually, was able to see much further, you know, than a normal child or young adult would. And so spiritually, all these insights are developing, and yet, when you hit reality, which is the drama and your own karmic circumstances and stories, then how does that spirituality translate into your vision and your attitude, the quality of your heart and your mind? And at those times, you have to be honest about what's going on inside at each of these levels. Because the starting place for purity is truth. And the seeds of truth lie in honesty. And sometimes just seeing something for what it is releases you from tension inside. An expectation that you develop of yourself that's unnecessary. Because at the end of the day, I think we are masters at creating disturbance inside ourselves. You know, raised expectations, having thought too much about something unnecessarily. And so managing your internal dynamics so they stay peaceful. It's like being a mother to yourself. Just let's say something physical happens. You don't feel well physically today. Okay, so just name what's happening. But there's no need to suddenly stop the rest of your life because you don't feel well today. Your balancing energy is just sitting quietly, going to Baba, and seeing what happens when you sit with Baba. What happens to your physical state when you sit with Baba? How does Baba's energy impact your physical state? What normally we do is when we don't feel well, the thought begins, I don't feel well. And the moment you claim a state, Baba's not responsible for you. It's very, very subtle. I remember quite a few years ago, Daddy's had, you know, health issues for so many, many years. I mean, she's been at death's door 20 times at least. And perhaps one of those occasions was a time in Madhubani. It was off season. I happened to be around. And she'd had, I think, really bad back pain. She had an infection. She had chronic bronchitis. She couldn't speak. She had high blood pressure. And she was on a drip and she was in bed for a week. She couldn't move. And we were looking after her round the clock. And so I remember, you know, it was obviously she couldn't speak anything. She'd lost her voice. point is Baba. And so when you're feeling emotional about something, what do you do? Do you project it? Do you deny it? Do you suppress it? Or do you just sit back, allow the emotions out, and just be with Baba and see what happens? Sometimes when I find myself thinking too much, you know, like I've overdone something, I know when I've overdone something because I end up thinking too much about it. Like I'm working on a project, I'm working on a service task, and you always know inside you how much energy you have to give to something. And when you cross that line, all your internal states get disturbed. Right? And you know, there's a lot of deep wisdom in knowing how much to think, how many thoughts to expend on something. I've come to understand over a few years that when something is ready to change, it will tell you. If it's not ready to change, don't beat your head over it. And a huge percentage of our thinking is probably thoughts about things we can't change. And so, you know, when you approach life from the place when something's ready to change, it'll pop up and say, "Hello, I want your attention. Deal with it." If something hasn't popped up in your life to say, "I need your attention," why are you giving it extra thoughts unnecessarily? Of course, it's different if you're sitting at Amrit Vela and there's a very clear touching that comes. That's different because that's a very singular thought that comes. It's very clean. But the thoughts I'm talking about is the kind of addictive thoughts, you know, that you can't quite let go of something. And so, can you see yourself? Do you know when you cross that line? And if you keep crossing it again and again and again, there is a cost that comes with that. It will be a physical cost. It will be an emotional cost. And definitely it will be a spiritual cost. Because it's a big energy drainer. And so I think, you know, I'm just randomly sharing my thoughts, but one of the feelings I get that's very important at this time is the whole subject of self-care. So that we can keep our internal dynamics peaceful. Now, of course, peace has different layers of experiences. You know, there's the kind of peace, the peace that comes when you go to sleep. That's a really nice peace, isn't it? You're checked out of the world, you're disconnected from everything, and you're somewhere else, and you don't even know where you are. And then there's the peace that comes when you've physically had a workout. You know, you've been for a run, you've been for a jog, you physically worked yourself out, and the peace that comes from the satisfaction of the senses. Right? Then there's the peace that comes when you experience belonging. You know, you're belonging, you're close to something, you're close to someone. And then there's the peace that comes when you don't have a body. Very deep, deep silence, stillness. Now, Baba talks about it as the incorporeal stage. Yeah. That is a very, very important reference for stability. Because if I'm not able to touch base with home, that state, which is the purest state, the original state, then I'm left at the mercy of the physical world and its dynamics. when a number of my travels began about 8 years ago, I remember feeling, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to settle down somewhere and have a home? You know? You kind of have this, your relationship with home changes, because we take our homes for granted. You take your bed for granted, you take your room for granted, you think it's always going to be there. And tomorrow, what if an earthquake happens and your house falls down? You don't have a bedroom to go to. You don't even have a bed to sleep in. And so, so much gets challenged in terms of our physical comforts. You know, you don't know where you're going to be in a few days' time. You don't know what room you're going to sleep in, what you're going to get to eat. And when your physical dynamics are changing, ever-changing, that's when you really start to face the reality of your stability inside. Where am I drawing my stability from, truly? And, of course, you can't take all your supports away from you immediately. It's impossible for the soul to survive. You know, that's why what Baba does, he's very clever. He creates a transference mechanism. So he creates a center, right? He inspires, he creates a yajna, a center, service, so that you transfer your sense of home, your sense of purpose, your sense of task, into Baba's environment. And so when you do things in yoga, slowly, slowly, your dependency on other supports diminishes. But at the same time, what's very important, and I knew what was important for myself, is the space to experience deep, deep silence inside. The silence that comes from being bodiless. The relief that comes from being bodiless. The silence and the fullness that you experience when you become the seed inside. These experiences inside the soul are like an anchor for the soul. And these are the experiences that, for me, are cultivated in the early morning time. You know, the experience of your original self. And that's what then allows you to interact with everything in your life on the basis of that experience. What experience do you begin with when you wake up in the morning? When you get out of bed in the morning, is it, oh my God, I don't want to get out of bed? Is it the experience of denial? Is the experience, I'm exhausted, let me get a cup of coffee before I meet Baba today? Right? Or is the experience, oh, let me just check my cell phone and see what messages I've received on Facebook today, this morning? Right? It's very subtle. If you examine your experience the moment you wake up, it has a profound impact on your dynamics in the day. You know, scientifically it's proven. Whatever experience you create in the first 10 minutes of your day affects your entire day. And so cultivating an experience of silence and belonging first thing in the morning. And, you know, many years ago, I used to keep, I won't say chart, but it is a chart. Maybe for 17 years or so, I started off by writing a letter to Baba every night. I would just pour my heart out. So it would be like 4 pages one night, 3 pages the next night. Then it went down to 1 page. And then after a while, I thought, you know, I can't just keep writing a letter to Baba. I've got to do something. There's no point telling Baba what's happening in my day-to-day and that, but no change happens. And then my chart took on a different form. I would take up something I wanted to change, just one thing. And I would track myself in the week on that thing. I remember one time I made a list of everything that I didn't understand or wanted more clarity on. And I took each thing on that list and I made it a week project. So for example, I remember it was Master Almighty Authority. I used to think, what is this experience of being a Master Almighty Authority? And I remember taking it up, I went and looked up as many Avyakta Murali books as I could. I found all of Baba's Muralis on this title, and I started reading them. And as I started reading them, I started to gain an understanding of what this title was. And then I started practicing that at Amritvela. Until I arrived at a point where I could say, I'm confident, I know what this means for me. I've experienced this. So when you accomplish, when you have a spiritual accomplishment, this creates stability inside the soul. And I think for many of us, sometimes we can live Brahmin life in a very haphazard way. Oh yeah, woken up for Amritvela, been to class, done my duties, ticked all the right boxes, but nothing's moving. So in a day, in a week, in a month, examine your spiritual accomplishments. What have I achieved spiritually? Because that's very important for the soul to experience. In Lokic life, people experience security and stability when they've achieved goals in their life. That's why people are constantly goal setting. You know, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. Why? Because it creates security. And it's the same at a deeply spiritual level. A deep part of our experience of stability comes from self-satisfaction. The satisfaction of having accomplished something inside, be it at a virtues level, a powers level. And so that's a very important element to examine in Brahmin life. Stability has so many different faces, and keeping the self inside and centered, it's a balancing game. It's not that just because you've had an experience of soul consciousness, that's it. You're going to stay there and it's fixed. Energy is not fixed. Energy is mobile. It's very fluid. And that's one of the advantages. Sato Pradhan energy is stable energy because it's constant. Stability comes from constancy. Stability doesn't come from fixedness. Do you understand? And sometimes we try in our Brahmin life to fix things. Oh, well, if I sort that out, fix that, everything will be okay. Impossible. Impossible. That's probably the thinking of a perfectionist. I used to be a perfectionist. You know, and that's extremely stressful. And then when you realize that, you know, wait a minute, I'm in a tamopradhan body, so there's always going to be something or another not quite working out here. I'm in a tamopradhan world, so there will never be the perfect place for me, even if I keep looking for it. I'm in karmic accounts, relationships, the tamopradhan, so there isn't a perfect relationship. So when you realize the nature of something that's tamopradhan, then you accept energy where it is, but you make a movement. You know, the nature of tamo energy is inertia and darkness. Right? So when you experience, you know, inside ourselves, sometimes we're moving forward in Brahmin life and we get this injection of satopradhan energy from Baba, and then suddenly the next day you can't get out of bed or something happens and you can't do what you want to do because there are tamo guni forces challenging that. We've developed habits of laziness. That's a tamoguni habit. Because it's inertia. Anything that creates inertia in the soul, where you feel you can't move forward, is a tamoguni trait. Rajoguni, an energy that is linked to rajopradhan, rajoguni, is motion, movement, passion, excitement. Ambition is rajoguni energy, right? Doubt is rajoguni energy. So sometimes this, sometimes this, sometimes this, sometimes this. It's fluctuating. Sattoguni energy. I mean, in today's world, I will call it invisible energy. You know, a sattoguni person isn't visible. They just disappear. You know, you wouldn't recognize a deity in today's world because their frequency is so elevated. And sometimes if our lens is not elevated, you can't spot it. And so sattoguni is constant, it's stable, and it's so appreciative of everything. You know, it keeps energy elevated. It's elevated, it's bliss energy. It's silence, it's stillness. But not stillness that's passive. Because you can sit in meditation and you can say, oh, I'm experiencing a lot of peace today. But that peace experience is coming from a passivity inside. Does that make sense? It's not real peace. Because real peace with it has a lot of freedom and bliss with it. And so, what's our journey in Brahmin life as we seek to remain centered and stable? We're elevating ourselves. We're elevating our energy. And that's what our effort is. Even when there are tamoguni forces pulling us, Baba has given us enough knowledge to be able to work our way out of something. And you know, it's not even knowledge. You know, I remember Daddy would say sometimes, she would share stories about Mama, and Mama, somebody would come to Mama and say, Mama, I don't feel very well today. What would Mama say? She said, go and wash dishes. Right? Even the subject of karma yoga, anything that will help to move energy in the right direction, and you start to stabilize something. If you stay somewhere, you start to experience hopelessness. Am I going to change? Is it ever going to change? What's going to happen? How's it going to happen? And you dig a hole and you fall in it. And then you suffer from depression, you suffer from physical illness, and there's always something or another reason or excuse that doesn't allow you to do what you really want to do. You know, it takes a lot of courage to play your part with God. Because whatever your karmic accounts are, in Sangam Yug, we just have one job, and that is to play our parts fully with Baba. Karmic accounts are there, you have to tolerate them. You created them. So you just have to tolerate them. No big deal. Complaining about your karmic accounts just makes things worse. And so staying focused on what is my part with Baba? Why has Baba chosen me? What's the memorial I'm going to leave behind in Sangam Yug? Why am I doing what I'm doing? It's like creating a very clean pathway for yourself, irrespective of the dynamics that occur around you. And there'll be many dynamics that occur around you. You know, Baba has said to us, Brahmins will become instruments for other Brahmins to help settle karmic accounts. He says, well, don't worry, be happy. Keep moving forward. You know, sometimes people come to the Brahmin family and say, is this what happens in the family as well? I thought they're practicing spirituality, but look what's happening. Yeah? But what's the secret underneath? This is a yagya, it's a hospital, it's a university, it's a family. There's incredible dynamics being sorted out under the surface. Huge. Brahmins are incredible souls. And so respecting those dynamics is very important. You know, imagine, I don't know any other souls in the world that will wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, remember God, serve the world, do mansa seva, get changed, get dressed, go to work, come back, do courses, do lectures. I mean, incredible what Brahmins do in a day. It really needs to be respected. And all the other dynamics is just settlement. No big deal. But what do I have to do? And when you lose sight of what you have to do, that's when you start to destabilize. You get caught up in someone else's story. Yeah. You make someone else's story your story. And it's none of your business. And you might be the instrument that is helping to settle a karmic account there. Right? But even then, what's the question? What do I have to learn? What do I have to change? It's not about them at the end of the day anyway. I remember when I first came to live at the retreat center in Oxford, there was a period of 1 month and I would wake up every morning feeling really bad inside. And I could feel there was something clearing. And I had the faith it would clear. But then the person I was sharing a room with was a very interesting character, so to speak. And I never had a very good relationship with my Lokic sister. And I found those same dynamics playing themselves out with this person I was sharing a room with. And so after about a few months, I thought, what's going on here? And I realized, oh my gosh, these are exactly the same feelings I have when I'm dealing with my Lokic sister. And I suddenly realized it's got nothing to do with this sister. It's got to do with the energy dynamic between us. And so suddenly as I released that person, I thought, well, look, you're just a trigger to help me see the energy dynamic I'm working with. It was like being liberated from a bondage. And when that happened, and I was able to shift my attitude and my drishti, my relationship with that sister changed, and my relationship with my Lokic sister changed without even having to interact with my Lokic sister. It's quite powerful what happens in the Brahmin family. You know, settlement that happens at a very deep level when you're able to take ownership of your journey with Baba. So no matter what happens in your life, just do what Daddy does. Sit back. Wait for it to go. Go to Baba and see what happens. And then you'll feel Baba weaving his way into your life. And Baba will look after your mind. Baba will look after your heart. Baba will look after your body. Baba will look after your drishti. You know, even if you go a little bit off, Baba's presence comes in very quickly. And that's what Sangam Yuga is about. You know, enjoying being with God fully. Otherwise, we've had enough sorrow around the cycle. You don't want to continue with more sorrow in Sangam Yuga. It's enough. Okay. So we're going to have meditation now.